please take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis 39. We're glad that you're in the Lord's house today to honor Him and worship and recognize that He is in control of all things and we can trust Him with anything that happens in our life. And so again, Genesis 39, really the story is going to start in 37. And just kind of give you a recap, last week I preached out of Genesis 35. Genesis 35 was about Jacob and being called back to the land of promise. And so he made his way back there and he had some struggles there and God truly blessed him. Then if you jump to chapter 36, that's about Jacob's brother Esau and just the tribes of Esau and the family of Esau. And then chapter 37, which I'll speak about in a little bit, is really about Joseph. And Joseph was the guy with the coat of many colors, and his brothers did not like him. He was cast into a pit and sold. Well, chapter 38 is really more about the tribe of Judah, and so we're not going to really deal with that a whole bunch right now. And so Jacob's son Judah was in that chapter, and that leads us to chapter 39. And 39 is really a great story about struggle, about ups and downs in life, about good things and bad things, and how God helps His people to overcome all those things. And so hopefully you'll get a good word today and really trust God for what He's doing in your life. Kind of a long reading, but we're people of the Word, so let me read to you Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over all of his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand, and there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can then I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about the time that Joseph went into his house to do his business there, there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in this Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to the word, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled. And it came to pass, when the master heard the words of his wife, which she had spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did the servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to that Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us no matter the circumstances, that you empower us and help us to live a faithful life. And Lord, when the world gets turned upside down, we know that we can trust you and your plan. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see your presence and your power, how you are always there, always helping. Help us to have a heart that trusts that and live for you no matter the situation we find ourselves in. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. Now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, it's been many years ago, but there's a hee-haw, you know the show there, this little parody they had about good and bad. And let me just give you a revised vision of that, because I think it's a good thing. Remember the guy said, I got some good news. My uncle died and left me $50,000, and I bought me an airplane. And the guy said, that is good news. He said, no, it was really bad, because I was flying that plane. It turned upside down, and I fell out of the plane. He said, oh, that's bad. He said, well, no, it's good news. I had on a parachute. He said, oh, that is good. He said, well, no, it's not good. It's bad, because when I pulled the cord, nothing happened. He said, oh, that is bad. He said, well, not so bad, because when I was looking down, there was a great big haystack under me. The guy said, oh, that's good. He said, well, no, not too good. It's kind of bad, because in the middle of the haystack, there was a big pitchfork. Oh, that's bad. Well, not so at all bad. I missed the pitchfork. He said, oh, that's good. He said, no, it's not. I missed the hay bale. Life is just like that. We're up 1 minute, down, up 1 minute. Blessings 1 minute seems like, and cursings the next. It seems like nobody's life is an even keel. Now, you may look at people and say, oh, man, they never have any troubles. They do. You may look at people and say, oh, their life just full of terrible things. Let me just tell you, they got some good things, too. And we need to learn to trust in the Lord as Joseph did. So no matter if we're on the highest mountain or the lowest valley, we know God has guided us and we are doing the very will of God. Again, let me remind you who we're talking about today. We're not talking about some of those guys in the past like Jacob. Jacob was not a good guy. Jacob was a finagler. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He was a liar. And God blessed him because he finally came to faith as he should. But now Joseph, his son, is not like that. He was a man that truly loved God and honored him. And yet, even in those tough times, when he got knocked down, he trusted God, and God raised him back up. And this will not be the end of the story today, but hopefully you'll get a glimpse of Joseph's life and recognize, hey, I'm just like him. I hope God does me just like that. And the answer is, yes, he will. So notice some things in this passage that really should speak to us in our life. Notice first there's the situation of Joseph. The situation of Joseph. When you read verse 1 of chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. You just need to stop right there and kind of see the whole situation of Joseph's life. That's why you need to turn back to Genesis 37, where I can just read a few verses. Notice his situation as a favored son. If you read Genesis 37:3, now notice what it says. Now Israel, or that's Jacob, that's his father, loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a coat of many colors. You know the story, I'm sure, pretty well. Joseph, or Jacob, has 12 kids. He has Joseph next to the last. He was his favorite son, made him a coat of many colors. And man, he loved him. He gave him the best jobs. He gave him the best place. He gave him the best clothing. He was a favored son. He was blessed in his father's eyes. But that quickly moves from a situation as a son to now a situation as a sibling. Genesis 37:2 said, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being about 17 years old, was feeding a flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, that's his one of Jacob's wives, and the sons of Zilpah, one of Jacob's wives, his father's wives. And Joseph brought to his father their evil report. So let me tell you what's going on. He's the youngest, or next to the youngest. He goes to work with his brothers, and he comes back and said, Dad, you ought to see what those guys are doing. Who likes a tattletale? Amen. There's one strike against his siblings. Then Genesis 37:4, when his brothers saw their fathers loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they hated him yet more. And so his father lavished all this praise. It was more like his grandchild rather than his child. Amen. He loved this little guy. And so he praised him and praised him till it brought division in the family. And then, if you keep on reading, Jacob has dreams, and Jacob tells his brothers, well, I dreamed that we were all out in the field, me and you guys, and I made a little haystack bundle, and you made your haystack bundles, and your haystack bundles bowed down to my haystack bundle. And they said, are we going to bow down to you? And they hated him more. And so we find that sibling love is not good. And so by the end of chapter 37, verse 24 says, "And they took him and cast him in the pit. The pit was in, there was no water in. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. Behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh going down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brothers, What profit if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content." And so the story is, they were out there in the field. His father sends them to find him. They see him. They catch him. They probably beat him, threw him in this pit, going to slay him. Reuben says, "Do nothing to him," and he leaves. And then Judah sees the Ishmaelites; those are the traders of the land, and they would buy and sell anything. And so they got to this point. They said, "Hey, we're going to sell our brother." They came for 20 pieces of silver. They sold Joseph into slavery. Man, betrayed by your own family. And then we find his situation grows worse. His situation as a slave. Again, verse 9, or chapter 39, verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Can you imagine just for a moment the loss of everything you know? Loss of family, loss of freedom, loss of the fun things he'd been doing, loss of his dreams. He goes from a son to a slave in the matter of moments. You say, "Oh, poor Joseph." Yes, that is true. But it is through this, when you read the rest of the story, not just in 39, how God is going to use it in a miraculous way. And I'll tell you, sometimes we need to understand that the road of success in the eyes of the Lord always has pitfalls and troubles. I don't care who you go to. You can look at the biblical stories today and find me a person that did not have great trials that God did not use greatly for his kingdom and glory. I think about different guys. How about Noah? There's the flood. What about King David? Little David running for his life at times. How about Solomon? Well, Solomon had 1,000 wives. Amen. Troubles and trials. Every person in the Bible that was used by God faced great things in their life. And so this young man will do the same. Why? Somebody said it best. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. You see, it's in the pits of life we begin to look up. The psalmist said in 121:1, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help." Maybe today you're in that pit, which we'll get into a little bit longer later. Maybe in the pits of life is really where we begin to pray as we should. 2 Samuel 22:7 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and he cried unto me, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears." In the pits of life we begin to move toward the Lord. Another man said, "No man stands taller than when he's on his knees." I wonder today, are you hurt? Do you have a heavy burden? Or are you really ready to see yourself for who you truly are? Will you come and recognize there is a one that can deliver? Your life might be smooth sailing at the moment, but sooner or later, the storm will hit. It's just a matter of time. I'm not trying to scare you, not trying to make you feel bad, not trying to get you out of a good mood, but I'm just telling you, if everything's wonderful right now, it's only a matter of time before it is not. And in that moment is when God desires for us to look up and see him and call upon his power and might for help. See, there's a situation of Joseph, and you might be just like that. Everything's fine, or you're in the pit. Take care and know this, that God is able to help. Notice the second thing, not just the situation, but now the service of Joseph. You got to really see his pursuits to begin with. And if you jump to verse 3, it says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." Think about him just for a moment. Here's a man been dealt a heavy blow, a terrible blow. He's been betrayed by the loved ones. He's been sold into slavery. Life as he knew was probably over. You would think this is the end of Joseph, but it is not. If you read in verse 3, the end of the verse says, "The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." That word prosper is tzalak in the Hebrew there. It's a combination of words. One means to come upon mightily. to force entry, to make or to succeed. And so the idea is he didn't stop where he was. He began to do something. He didn't lay down. He moved forward. He served the place where he's at. He served the Egyptian master. Now, much can be learned about a person when they are under great stress or hardships. I found that many times we perform well when things are going our way, when people appreciate us, when everything is was wonderful. Man, we're all for the team. We're moving in the right direction. But I wonder what happens when things don't go our way. And so again, maybe that's you. Maybe you're betrayed or outcast. Maybe you feel all alone or suffering, thinking the world is all against you. I wonder if Joseph felt that way. I can tell you, probably so, but not for long, because there's something different. He did not just wilt and fade away. Instead, he begins to serve. And so the question is, why or how could he do that? Well, I think not just his pursuit, but now his perspective. Here's the idea that no matter the situation Joseph found himself in, he served the Lord. And so that same should be for us. No matter the situation we find ourselves in, we should serve the Lord. Somebody said, I will grow where I am planted. That's the idea behind this man. Notice he's not trying to impress his father, Jacob. He's not trying to impress his brothers with the dreams. He is not trying to impress Potiphar. I'm sure he's trying to simply honor God. And so our perspective must be the same. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then Matthew 25 gives us a glimpse of why we do good. And the king shall answer and say unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Look at his life. Joseph is serving the Lord and him only. He goes from a favored son to a slave. He goes from a man with a striped coat to a man of prison stripes. You would think he would just roll over and quit. And again, the question is why? I wonder how we deal with our troubles. How do we deal with the situations? What is our why? How do we deal with these things? I'm telling you, sometimes we get mad. You ever been mad because things didn't work out just right? Hebrews chapter 12, we get mad at others. Hebrews chapter 12 says, follow peace with all men. In other words, be at peace with all men. Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as life and you live peaceably with all men. So don't get mad. Get this idea that God will work it out. Sometimes we get embittered or just in a rage in one sense, not willing to forgive when we've been wrong. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How about hateful? Do you get spiteful and have a sense of hate when those come against you? Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Or maybe you're the kind that just gets really worried in life. Somebody said, worry is a thin stream that trickles through the mind, which all thoughts are drained into. When life is turned up down, do you worry and worry and worry? Somebody else said this, which is good. Worry is talking to yourself about things you can't change, but prayer is talking to God about things He can change. Don't worry, simply pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful, or don't be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Joseph is not one full of self-pity and shouting, it is unfair. No, he's one that stands up and says, I will be faithful. Hey, while I'm right here, let me just tell you one secret in life. I got three more, but let me just tell you the first one. Life is not fair. I'm telling you, I just want you to understand that, and all those may be listening. Life is not fair. How many times have you heard your kids say that? It's not fair. It's not. It never will be until the Lord Himself makes things right as it should be. And so we need to understand that life is not fair. We've all had our losses as believers in one sense, but at the end of the day, we have this hope in Christ Jesus. It is this hope that will drive out those words. It is the hope that will drive out anger. It is the hope that will drive out the bitterness and the unforgiveness. We need Christ Jesus. So the question is, what are you facing now, and what do you need to turn from? What issue is at hand that you need to surrender to? Are you bitter or better because of those things? He had the right perspective in life. So he pursues because he has the right perspective. Hey, I heard this story. Let me just give you a story about perspective. I heard this story about this lady in college. Well, she's a teenager. She's going to this college there. And so she's writing. This is way before, I guess, cell phone things. But so she writes her mother back and says, I've got some news. I just want to let you know, first and foremost, I am okay. Yes, there was a fire in the dorm room, but I'm doing good in the hospital right now. I'm okay. I'm just thankful that the gas attendant, Ray, across the street saw the fire, and he ran in there and saved me and finally got me to the hospital. We're doing pretty good. Matter of fact, when we get out of here, we're planning on getting married just as soon as his divorce is final. You can just tell the mother, and then she says, P.S., none of this is true, but I made a D in chemistry. I just want the proper perspective. We need that perspective. Now, it's kind of funny, but in one sense, Joseph has this perspective, and so must we. God does not want you defeated, but dare to be the best we can where we presently are. And so that's where we find Joseph serving the Lord, serving as he should, being faithful to him. So notice the third thing, not just the situation and the service, but now the strength of Joseph. He will need great strength to fight temptations that comes with this particular position that he has. He's a man with great power because the Lord is with him. God calls him to be greatly blessed. And read verse 6. And he had left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not all that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. He's kind of like Chris Cadillac. Man, Chris has got it going on. He's a strong guy. Well, his wife says anyway, a good-looking guy. Man, he's got it going. Joseph did too. But what so happens is when we begin to prosper in life, lo and behold, Satan always comes against you. Remember I said I got two or three secrets. One is life is not fair. Two, when you're being used for the Lord, Satan will always come against you. I'm telling you, when you are being used by God, Satan will always come against you. Just understand that. And exactly what takes place in Joseph's life, he is doing great, but all of a sudden we find something takes place. So notice first his coaxing in verse 7. And it came to pass after these things, what things? The things he's been doing good, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. I don't think we have to explain that. She says, come here, we need to be friends. That's the best I can do, amen. And so we know that's not good. Why? Because she's married. And so let me remind you, she is tempting him with sin. And so temptation really comes to all of us. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We just recognize that Satan will tempt us with the things that we are easily tempted with. Now, let me just tell you, Satan is not all places. He doesn't know all things, but I'm telling you, he knows how to tempt me and you in particular ways. One, he sees what we look at. He sees where we linger. I'm just telling you guys, be careful on that computer. Be careful on that cell phone when you're scrolling through there. When you stop and linger for a minute, you just need to keep on scrolling because it just happens. Just stuff pops up. But Satan sees where you linger. That's where he says, uh-huh, I can catch him right there. Ladies, maybe you're scrolling through there and you see that nice person. You're like, oh, I'm telling you, same thing. Satan sees where you linger at. And tempt you in different ways just like that. What grabs your attention? Where do you linger? That's some of the things that this tempter comes to you with. Secondly, we recognize that temptation is real because sin is fun. Sometimes sin is done out of rebellion. I understand that. Sometimes God says, don't do this. And we say, well, we're going to do it anyway. But we need to recognize that sin is fun. And we want to be led into that because of pleasure. Moses was written about in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, Hebrews 11, 25, speaking about Moses. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is always fun for a short while. But the third thing, temptation when taken will cost you. Temptation when taken will cost you. See, the problem is the world's promoting do what you want to. All's good. If you like that, just do it. Let me just tell you something about the Lord. He has a right way and a wrong way. He has the perfect way, and then there's the world's way. His way is best. His way leads to life and peace. The world's way leads to death and unsettledness and worry and fear. And so we need to take His way. There are no gray in-betweens. Follow Him. Why? Because the Lord has His reward. Read Revelation 22, 12. And it says, "Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." So where are you tempted? What tempts you? What is your weakness? Recognize those things and get away from that. Satan either wants you to fall miserably or make your testimony ruin in such a way you can't affect others for the cause of Christ. So his coaxing leads to his choice. Look at verse 7 again. At the end of the verse says, "Lie with me." Verse 8 says, "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he has to my hands." In other words, he said, "I cannot do this." By the way, let me remind you how old Joseph is. If you go back to Genesis 37, he is 17 years old when he was right before he was taken. And so we know he's above 17. And then if you go to Genesis 41, verse 46, he's 30 years old when he stands before Pharaoh. So he's between 17 and 30. We'll just say it's going to close the distance. He's probably around 20, 22 years old. Here's a lady making advances to him, and he says, no. He says, no. How can he say no to the temptation? The same thing we can do to fight temptation. One, he understands what he has, and secondly, he understands who his sin is against. Again, verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I." In other words, I've worked myself up. I've been given so much, I don't want to blow that. "Neither have they kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And by the way, David, the writer of the book of Psalms, reminds us that all sins are against God. David said when he committed sin, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness or evil in thy sight." And so we recognize that our sin is against God. So there is a refusal not to fall into sin. But notice this, it doesn't stop with just one no. Verse 10, "It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." Here's secret number 3. Temptations will not stop once you have overcome that temptation. It will not stop when you've left high school. It will not stop when you graduated college. It will not stop when you get a certain age. It will not stop. Sin keeps on coming. The temptation does. And you got to learn to fight that day by day by day by day. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "And he said unto all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he's saying a bunch of things there, but he makes the same idea. He said, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." In other words, the fight against temptation is every single day. You can never say, "Well, I've overcome that sin, I am good. I'm overcome that sin, I am good." It is a fight daily to do these things. We have to simply fight. Well, sometimes just saying no doesn't work. Notice verse 12. "And she called him by the garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in hand and fled and got him out." Verse 13 says, "And it came to pass when she saw that he left his garment in her hands, and was fled forth." Now, what we need to see is that every day she's been saying, and finally she grabs a hold of him when he's alone in the house. And so what does he do? He leaves his coat and runs out. He flees. I think about running from sin. Sometimes no is not enough. Sometimes you have to run from those things that will pull you down. Run from your friendships at times. Run from those other relationships that are not healthy. Run from that computer. Run from that cell phone. Run from the website. Run from you fill in the blank. Run if you cannot say no. So again, how do you overcome temptations? For him, it was a prepared heart. The choice to refuse starts in the heart. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 1? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Here's a man that loves the Lord. He has a prepared heart. He's used pointed words, just say no. But lastly, he has a plan of escape. Sometimes you just got to run. 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is such common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I'm telling you, God is there helping you to say yes to him and no to the temptation. Finally, Joseph simply has to run. Here's the next part. Notice the consequences of that choice in verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake in him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. So get the story. Joseph had been a godly man. He's been what God desires. This woman has tried to bring him in. He said no and no and no. Finally, she gets all of his coat. He leaves the coat behind. She brings the coat to her husband and says, this guy did this. And his wrath was kindled. Now, I had a thought this morning. Twice, his garments have gotten him in trouble. Amen. His striped coat and now this coat got him in trouble in one sense. But notice what happens. He goes to prison for doing good. He goes to prison for doing the right thing. Let me just tell you this. He was going to prison no matter what. If he does bad, Numbers 32:23, your sin shall find you out. Sooner or later, Mrs. Potiphar is going to say, Joseph, I'm going to tell my husband and he's going to prison. Or he's going to do the right thing and go to prison. Now I want you to understand that you may not like that. But here's what the Lord says in Matthew 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let me just tell you, my friends, I would much rather be condemned for doing good and the right thing and honoring God than I had been condemned, rightly so, for disobeying God. Joseph recognizes that and simply is willing to do the right thing. You say there's no way to win. I say, oh, yes, there is. Be faithful and see what God does. Sooner or later, he rewards those that are true to him. Notice the last thing this morning. Not just the situation of Joseph and the service of Joseph and the strength of Joseph, but now the success of Joseph. In verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, doesn't that sound just like the start of the book, the start of the chapter? He's in a bad spot, but now he's doing good. Why? God is protecting him. Showed him mercy. Yes, she meant it for evil, but the Lord will mean it for good. He's going to say that in chapter 50, verse 20, when his brothers come back to him and say, oh, we're so sorry. He's going to say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so we find that God was with him and protecting him, keeping him safe in these times. Not only protection there, but there's the prospering. If you read verse 23 again, it says that it made him to prosper. Matter of fact, let me read verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So everything that he did in this place, again, he prospered. I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. You may be in a terrible time. Stay faithful. God's going to bless. The psalmist said it like this, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in the seasons, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm telling you, my friends, if you'll follow God's word in his way, it may be tough now, but sooner or later, God's going to bring you back up to a great blessing. Why? Because lastly, here's the plan. There is the plan of the Lord. Go to verse 20. You may not see this unless you've read on. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Now, if you keep on reading, you'll understand that these two guys are going to have a dream. And Joseph's going to be in that same prison talking to them and interpret the dream. And there's going to be a great series of events. Finally, he's going to, one of the guys that goes back to Pharaoh's going to have a dream. And he's going to say, there's the guy I was in prison with that interpreted dreams. Bring him in. I bet he can interpret yours. And we're going to find that Joseph, it's going to be a long time. He's going to be 30 years old. But before you know it, Joseph is going to be over all the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And that all this was the plan of the Lord. Not only will he save himself, not only will he save his brothers from this great famine that's coming, not only will he save Potiphar and the nation of Egypt, but really the whole world at that time will be saved because of one man named Joseph that followed the Lord's plans, that God aligned up just right for all this to take place. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Maybe life seems hopeless. Trust in this one who can turn it out for good. Joseph put the Lord first, and it's just a matter of time before the Lord turned things around. The plan that God has for Joseph does mighty things. I wonder today, will you simply trust in the Lord? There's good news and bad news in our life. Maybe today you're in good news and things are going up, but sooner or later there's going to be some bad news. But after all that, sooner or later, life's going to end, and there's going to be two outcomes that will be for eternity. Either good news with the Lord and him for all eternity, or bad news with this place called hell for all eternity. There will be no more news after that except the one place you're in. Why not trust in the Lord today? Why not follow him? Even in the pits of life, trust Christ and see what he can do for you. The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I wish today that you would simply trust in him. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Sometimes it is hard to make decisions under duress. And then sometimes that's when it's easiest, when there's no other way but up. Let me encourage you, if things are going good, make the right decision before the time of duress so you know who to trust in. Don't let your life in the time of misery have to search for God. Why not simply find him right now? Why not trust him? Maybe you're here today and you're in the midst of a trouble and trial. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe you're not like Joseph and said yes instead of no. I'm telling you, there's a God that forgives and wipes away sin and sets the slate clean that you can trust him. Maybe you're here today and just need a word from God to help you over this little hump. Maybe Joseph's in this picture is a good word for you. Whatever it is, there's a God that helps. And the same God that helped Joseph is the same God that can help you. Call on him today. Trust him, try him, and see the amazing things he can do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We say thank you for your power and your might and your deliverance. Thank you for all that you do for those that call upon you. Lord, today I pray that you'd open our eyes. Let us get past those things. Give us perspective to see the hard times will only be for a short time. And now we can simply trust you in your eternal grace. Lord, I pray that you bless every person in this room. Give them wisdom, guidance. Give them a conviction. Help us all to follow you now. In the name of Jesus, amen.